All right, hello, welcome everybody. This is Amateur Radio Roundtable, a show about ham radio. Amateur radio is shortwave and electronics, plus a few other things. I want to welcome you tonight, especially if you're listening to the show out there on a shortwave on WBCQ on 7490. We're glad you've tuned in on shortwave. That's what many of us started with many years ago, shortwave, before we got our ham license. So, hey, drop us a note if you're out there and listening on shortwave. Just send that email to tom@w5kub.com, tom@w5kub.com. And, you know, hey, you may be listening out there on a podcast, just an audio-only podcast. We're on nearly every podcast carrier out there, from iTunes to Google Play to iNet Radio. I got a nice email this week from a fellow that was listening on audio-only podcast, and we were talking about, you know, the ham radio furniture that we built. And he said it was so interesting, he went online to watch the show, and he really liked to, he was really glad to see that. And he said it was really interesting there. So our podcasts are doing pretty good out there. Again, we'd love to hear from you. We don't hear too much from you guys, but send us an email, tom@w5kub. Join our Facebook group, if you will. It's just called W5KUB. We'll get you there. The actual long name of it is Amateur Radio Roundtable, but it's just too much to type. Just type in W5KUB in a search, and you'll find our ham radio group. And the group has about 14,000 members in it now. And, you know, it's not a personal group. It's ham radio. So I think you'll enjoy it there. If you will, hit that subscribe button. We really need to hit the subscribe button down there. It's down in that bottom right corner right there. Hit that subscribe button. And if you will, hey, hit the like button tonight. And that helps YouTube to help advertise our show to other people that are looking for shows about radio and electronics and so forth. So please hit that. Okay, I got a lot to talk about tonight. Man, what are we going to talk about tonight? Let's see. Hey, we got Hamfest coming up. Hey, we got the Roundtable Swap Meet on here tonight. I've got a couple things here. Hey, believe it or not, hey, I moved a few items through Roundtable Swap Meet this week. Sold a couple of things there I was trying to get rid of. Hey, we're going to talk about the FCC, man. Is the FCC trying to bring back CW? There's some interesting things going on there. If you look at the new test, there's 7 or 8 questions about CW on the new test. Tonight, we'll talk about history of amateur radio licensing and changes, and we're going to look at some ham radio statistics. I got something else really interesting to show you in the Roundtable Swap Meet tonight. I'll hold it up here and give you a little preview. Guys, I'm going to get rid of this. This is a DV Mega. I don't know if you can see this or not. This is a DV Mega. This is an IP radio. IP radio. This here's the volume control right there in the speaker and everything. But look, no antenna back there. It's either Wi-Fi or it's Ethernet. And it uses the standard Yaesu microphone here. But anyway, this is an IP radio that will do Fusion, D-Star, and DMR with just the flip of a switch. I'm going to get rid of it. I'm not a DMR or D-Star guy, so I've decided to get rid of this. I probably hadn't used this more than 60 seconds since I've had it. So we'll talk a little about that a little later in the show there. I think tonight, you know, Brett was so good with his music a couple weeks ago. Brett has another ham radio song he's going to do for us tonight. And we're interested in seeing how that goes. So let's just jump around the room here really quick, and let's see. Well, I see Glenn up. Glenn's up next. How you doing, Glenn? And what are you doing here?
Oh, I'm just making a few notes for something I'm thinking about building.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm finally just about getting ready to fire up the lab for the spring. Most of the housework has been finished. Should hope to finish the rest of that this week or so. Just in time for the Corinth Ham Fest this weekend. Been working on my forum for that.
Okay.
And getting ready for Dayton. I mean, Dayton's what, 2 weeks off now? Two and a half weeks away? And I mean, I am fired up for Dayton this year. I am ready to rock.
All right. Well, hey, we're going to rock too, but we're going to do it from the studio. We're going to be on all day Saturday for hamvention, but we're going to be in the studio. We have got some people lined up to be our roving video reporters. We'll talk more about that in a little while. Brett, come on in here, man. What have you been doing this week?
Oh, well, I've been traveling far and wide throughout Wyoming and listening to the traffic and the repeaters as I've gone. And I've been talking to the FCC, although this week the FCC seems to be focused at this next coming meeting about regulation of the Internet. And some people are real excited about that and say it's real necessary. And some other people say, yeah, it doesn't need regulation. They prefer to see the government stay out of it. If you want to see a lively conversation, tune into the FCC meeting this coming Thursday. It's going to be interesting to hear the commissioners banter back and forth about that.
Wow, that might be an interesting thing to look into. That reminds me, both of y'all talking, I've got two tickets to Hamvention. I'll probably give those away to somebody that needs tickets to go to Hamvention. So, Glenn's already got his tickets, so he don't get them.
Actually, I got a free one this year.
Did you? That's cool, man. You got a free ticket this year.
Yeah, I'm doing a forum, so I get to get in free.
Okay, well, that's good.
Is it still free on Sunday? I know.
I believe it is still free for anybody on Sunday.
I think so.
Yes.
I think it's free for students also.
I think they've opened it up for everybody and just made it a general thing. I think that's a great idea to introduce folks to a ham fest. So, yeah, that looking forward to seeing that.
Yeah. Let's see. Okay. Guys, I saw someone mention Hambot. We're gonna start. I'm gonna try to round up. Gigaparts has already committed to a prize every month for the show. I just need to find three more vendors that would do us a monthly. Let's see, if I can get four vendors to do a monthly prize, we can have a prize every week all year long, and we'll have Hambot. We'll put a little oil on Hambot and get him kind of, you know, working out again. But Hambot's going to be with us here in a couple weeks for the Dayton Hamvention. We've got prizes lined up there. Well, all right. Okay. I want to say hello to my son Chris. He's out there driving tonight. I think he's listening. He's actually on his way up to the vicinity here over Marion. He's going to Marion, Arkansas, and that's just across the river here, about 20 miles. He's driving in from Houston tonight. It's about a 9.5-hour drive, so, you know, it's about like a Dayton drive from here. It's a long drive, and last I checked, he was somewhere probably this side of Little Rock, between Little Rock and Marion, Arkansas. So, Chris, I've been calling you a couple times, you know, during the day to tell you to wake up while you're driving. So, if you're listening, this is a wake up. Chris, wake up out there. Wake up, man. You're getting close. You ought to be about an hour away from your destination. So, as I mentioned, he's coming in for a funeral for a local ham that he's known for many years. So Chris, he'll attend that tomorrow and then turn around and drive back home, back to Houston. So that's a long ways. All right. Let's see. Well, I'm just going to go down the list here and start marking some stuff off here. Glenn, we're going to Corinth Hamfest next weekend.
You betcha.
Let's see, I got a flyer, I think, for Corinth somewhere. Let's see if I can find that flyer. Got so much stuff here. Yeah, there we go. That's the flyer. It's called Hemfest 24 for Corinth down here. And we'll be going. Now, Glenn, are you saying you're going to drive yourself down?
Yeah, I'm going to be
Okay.
going down myself.
Okay. Well, that's a little out of the way to circle around up here. And by the time you got up here and we got out of town, you could probably almost be
Yeah,
there.
I mean, I just cut straight across over onto what is
Yeah.
that? The Southern Loop, whatever the number is. I don't even know what it's called anymore.
385, but they changed the name to something. I don't know
Yeah.
what it is now.
Yeah.
Okay, well, very good. We're going to be there, and Glenn is going to be giving a forum. Glenn's going to be talking about, I don't know if you can read the fine print there, but Glenn's going to be talking about Arduino, the next generation. And I'm actually going to do a forum there, and we're going to do our Pico Balloon forum there. And we're going to have fun there. We've actually got a table, and Glenn, you taking anything down here to sell? You gonna put it on the
Yeah,
table?
I'm going to bring some stuff to try
Okay.
to sell it, just
Okay.
cleaning out the house.
Okay.
So
Well.
you have no idea. And when we get around to talking about Dayton, I've got a couple of little surprises for Dayton lined up.
Okay, we'll talk about that in a minute. So yeah, I'll throw two or three little things in the back of the truck. I've got a 2 meter beam. I'm gonna let go for almost nothing. I actually won it at Memphis Free Fest, so I'm gonna throw that beam in here and get rid of it. And I've got that GMRS base antenna. I'll probably take it down here. Maybe a couple little things like that. So, looking forward to going to Corinth. It's gonna be really good there. Let's see.
I've actually heard from some friends that I have in Corinth that contacted me about the Hamfest, and they're
Yeah.
not Hamfest people, and they said they're going to go just because.
That
Yeah, so I mean, they're really getting the advertising out, so
right?
should be a pretty good turnout there this weekend.
I think that Hemfest has the possibility it's going to grow. It's
I
going
think
to
so too.
be
They're doing
pretty
a
good
really good
Hemfest here.
job with it.
Yeah. Hey, let's talk a minute or two about Hamvention, man. Now you say you got some secrets or something you want to tell us?
Yeah, I've been in contact with ARRL this week, checking on the status of my latest book from them. And it doesn't look like the book will make Dayton. It's going to be a very close call if it does. However, realizing that, ARRL has donated some of my current Arduino book. For my forum to be given away, and they're also going to be giving away gift certificates for the new book
Oh,
at
okay,
my
that's cool.
forum. And I'm going to be kicking in a couple of Unos and Nanos to give out as well. So we'll have a pretty nice arrangement of door prizes there at my forum, which is Saturday, 2 p.m. at Dayton. So it's in Forum Room 4, which only has a seating capacity of about 100. Last time we overflowed it and they had to turn people away. So my advice is if you're planning to go, make sure you get there early because you might get turned away. But yeah,
All
that's what
right.
I got
Well,
going on for Dayton.
good. All right. Well, let's continue Dayton, the Hamvention. We are going to, of course, webcast it, guys. We're going to be webcasting it all day on Saturday. So, 1 day thing only. We're going to have prizes. Hambot's going to be with us all day on Saturday. That's the 20th. That's the 18th. Wait a minute. 18, 19. Is that right? The 20th? Is that Saturday, Glenn? Check your calendar real quick.
I'm checking the calendar right now.
I think
It
I.
is going to be Saturday the 18th.
No.
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
So this week, this is what, 17th, 18th, 19th for.
17th, 18th, 19th. Yes,
Oh man,
sir.
I got to change my thing here. It's in March,
Oh.
April, May. You're right. It's 18th. Okay. Well, let's fix that. That's not
Yeah, trust me, I went to their
That's good.
website to verify those dates.
Have you ever dreamed that you're going to Dayton and you went the wrong date? Have you ever done that?
Not to Dayton, but to other things, absolutely, yes.
Yeah, I've always wondered, man,
I've also shown up in my dream in pajamas and stuff too.
after I drive at 550 miles up there, it's like, oh man, I'm here on the wrong weekend. Oh man.
Yes, sir.
Woo.
Yep.
Ah, okay.
Actually, my first Dayton, I had to go up to my daughter's wedding in Louisville, Kentucky, the weekend before. So I drove all the way up from here to Louisville and back, and then turned right around to Dayton the following weekend. But I couldn't have stayed over for the week and a half. But
Yeah.
yeah, that was a long set of drives.
Oh yeah, I went to Dayton only once.
Oh
I
man.
had a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun there. I guess I just ran into the right events and the right people. I ate breakfast with the International Order of Crazies,
Oh boy.
IOCK, if you ever see them walking around with t-shirts. It's a group of hams who get together for breakfast every, at the big boy in Xenia every morning of the convention. And everybody, the thing about that group is that everybody in it is a vice president.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
Well, you know, Brett, you may have even, I mean, for many, many years, outside in a flea market, we were next to the IOOK, and they kept trying to recruit us. They still say we're a vice president, but I never got the shirt, and I never bought the shirt. And so yeah, they've been pretty close to us for many years. We used to put a floor under our tent out there. You know, the water in a flea market would roll, sometimes be 3 inches deep when it would rain, you know. And we would always have a raised floor under our tent
Yeah,
at the
was that
wall.
Xenia or Hera?
This is a Hera.
Okay.
This is a Hera, and the water would go under the floor, you know. And the IOOK would always would store our floor, so we didn't have to carry it up there and back every year. When they brought theirs out and set up next to us, they just brought our floor out and we set it up. Interesting thing. Hey, let's talk a minute about that. You know, hey, let me talk about our raised flooring, man. Let me tell you something.
Raised floors.
Raised floors. You know, it's like 4 inches high, so the water could go under. There's a guy that's set up behind us on like a Thursday evening or something. I don't remember when it was. This is years ago. He turned over a jerry can with gasoline.
Ouch.
And it ran all under our tent, under our floor. I didn't know it. I wasn't there. And it takes us quite a while. We set up a pretty permanent tent there. We had raised flooring. We had a very nice home-built frame for tents and anchored down. And oh man, we had everything here. But anyway, all this gas ran under our tent, and the fire department came out there. And I thought, well, that could be bad. They could probably take our floor up, tear our place up. But they didn't. I don't know if they just put some foam or something under it or something. I mean, we didn't notice it, but that could have been a serious issue. You know, you're not supposed to have an open flame out in the flea market, and I think we're past the amount of time they can get you. But you know, we carried a little cook stove with us out there, and you know, to cook hot dogs and things like that. And we carried a new little camper stove out there that had the propane bottles or whatever, liquid propane, and we cranked that. So, and we had carpet. We had car nice carpet. We had a carpet pad, and we had carpet all in our place. We lit that thing up, and little balls of fire started dripping onto our carpet right there, and the carpet caught on fire. It didn't actually burn, but a little hole about, you know, that big before we put it out. But after that, we started going with electric, like the we went with like the George Foreman grill. You know, those were great, man, for cooking hot dogs. If you had a generator in there, you just throw you some hot dogs in there, a hamburger, and a George Foreman grill, and you'd grill them. But anyway, that's a side story. That's a
Oh, you
side
can
story.
always do what Gordon West does and just, electrify your hot dogs.
Well, we've tried that. I tried that, but it the generator wouldn't quite handle it, man. I mean, yeah, that's a pretty good pull on a generator when you stick that lead in both ends of the hot dog, you know. Yeah,
Yeah.
yeah, yep. Yeah. So we
Anyway,
tried that.
So anyway, after I ate breakfast with the crazies, I went to, went to the went to the convention center and kind of walked around. And man, I'll tell you, they have exotic food trucks there, and I hear they keep getting better every year.
Yeah. Well, the food definitely was better there at Xenia than it was at Dera. Of course, we love Dera. Even though it was falling in, it was really bad. We've been here like 37 years, and we love the place. And I'd still rather be at Xenia. I mean, I'd still rather be at Hera than at Xenia, but that's okay. We've kind of burned out on going back anyway. Let's see.
See, I'm the other way around. I prefer Xenia. And just like with Brett saying, the food trucks there, another place that has great food is the Orlando Ham Fest. They're very comparable with their food truck area as well. So, but yeah, I like the food trucks there at Xenia.
I remember there at Hera. The building leaked so bad that people actually had put a big tent up inside the building one year. That was interesting. All right.
Hera was okay, but by the time I started going to Dayton, Hera had gone past its prime, well past its prime.
Oh, yeah.
And to
Yeah.
be honest, I think the tornado did everybody a favor by forcing the issue that you're never going back to Hera.
All right. So let's talk a little about what's going to happen. Hambot's going to be there. We're going to do. Let me fix that date. I got to fix the date, 18th or something like that. I'll look it up. I'll fix
Now,
it.
I'm going to be hot mic'd the whole day, as far as I can tell, as well. I'm going to be planning on it.
Okay. All right.
So you should be able to have a live feed from me most, if not all, of the day.
Okay. Just put that phone in your. You have a pocket, shirt pocket. If you set that phone in there.
I've got
Oh,
a harness
that's
that
right.
I'm
You
going to
bought
be
the
wearing.
harness. Yeah.
Probably going to have it right on my chest most of the day.
And you can recharge there with at Mark Popel. He's going to be right
Right.
there in the southeast southwest corner of the track. If you take the
Right.
track, he's in the southwest corner area of a camper out there and tent. You'll see the sky cam. We're going to have a sky cam up in the air where we can have a camera shot of everything from the air. All right, so here's what we're going to got. We've got two or three hams that have volunteered to be video recorders and stream back. Glenn is saying he might be able to do some too, so that's great. That'll be another person. And we have finalized the using the students there at the high school there in Ohio that have the TV class. They're learning TV production. And we've got three great people from there that we did a demo with them here last week, and they're going to be walking around streaming too, and that's going to be fun. So we should have enough streams coming in all the time that we're going to have something that we can show you all day on Saturday. Yeah. Okay. All right. I'll start trying to advertise that too, so people will know to tune in to W5KUB.com to watch Hamvention if you can't go. Again, guys, I've got two tickets. Hey, if you're out there listening here on shortwave or you're in the chat room and you need a ticket, shoot me an email, Tom at W5KUB.com, and I've got a couple tickets. If you only need one ticket, just ask for one ticket. If you and a friend are going, you need two tickets, just tell me, you would like to have both tickets. Send me an email and we will try to announce on the show here in maybe, well, we need to try to do it maybe in about a week to get it to you in time. So we got two Hamvention tickets that we'll be giving away there. So shoot me a note. All right. All right, let's see. Let's jump over to I'm real interested. Brett, are you ready to try to get the orchestra together and maybe sing a ham radio song for us?
Oh, well, sure, why not? I've got the samba band together, and they're all here, and I've got Got my radio ready.
All right, now you did so good last time. I mean, I think we were all completely just knocked off our chair. We were so surprised. It was really good. You got a 10 out of 10 from I think everybody. That's gonna be hard to match this time, but let's see if it's still up there. So,
Okay.
don't feel the pressure. Just but anytime you get ready, man, just go right ahead.
Okay, well, here goes, and when you hear the introduction, forgive me if there's a little QRM. It's the best I can do. Sitting in the darkness in my little shack, straining hard to hear somebody calling back. Dials glowing red, the meters rise and fall, and I'm waiting for an answer to my call. I'm seeking you. Wherever you may be, around the world, or right here next to me, I'm calling out on every frequency, and you know I'll be so delighted if you will answer me. I can send a message bouncing off the moon to a satellite or from a high balloon. Islands in the sea or mountains capped with snow. There is no place my signal cannot go. I'm seeking you wherever you may be, around the world. Or right here next to me, I'm calling out on every frequency, and you know I'll be so delighted if you will answer me. We know what we do is more than just a game, mastering technology's the real aim. To those who do not know, it seems like only play. But when trouble comes, our skills can save the day. I'm seeking you wherever you may be, around the world or right here next to me. I'm calling out on every frequency, and you know I'll be so delighted if you will answer me.
All right.
Yeah, you need to cue the applause track on that one, Tom.
Yeah, man. All right.
Oh, thank you.
All right,
Yes,
you got
you
more
probably
nerve than I.
noticed.
You got more nerve than I have, man. I mean,
Oh, me too, man. They're very good.
I couldn't get on here and do that, but hey, it sounded good. It was pretty good. I'll say pretty good. The song 2 weeks ago, everybody rated you a 10. They talked about how good it was, and I was actually surprised too how good it really was. Now, I don't know if this one is equal to last week or not. Some songs you got your top 10, you got your number one position, number two position, and so forth. I don't know where this one falls in. Let's see how the people out there rate it. Let's see. Okay, in the chat room, let's say, okay, everybody hit the keyboard, rate that song on a 1 to 10, and let us know how Brett did. Okay, Clifton says a 10. Wow, that's pretty good, though. Pretty good.
Mark wants to know when you're going to be releasing your CD.
Yeah, I'll have to get enough songs together for an EP. Yeah, you'll notice that the orchestra sort of, got into CW there.
Yeah, and I thought we turned on the music for musicians or something, audio, but it said it's off up here.
Well, I turned it off as soon as it finished because for talk, it's better to have original sound on.
Well, actually,
Actually, it was off
actually,
during the whole
it
thing.
set off during the whole thing.
Oh, really? Okay. Well,
Yeah.
for me, it's set on. I don't know. It may be. I think it's individual. I think that if
It
you
may
see it in
be.
your upper left-hand corner, that's just for you.
And maybe that message is on my end. I don't know. Maybe it is. But it's on Glenn's picture.
Well, let's see if I
Now,
can turn it on.
yeah, turn let's
All
turn it
right,
on.
now
Let's find
mine
out.
is turned on.
Yours is on?
Mine's on, and you notice it didn't change, so that's
Oh
strictly on
yeah.
your
So that
end.
must be on my end here. Okay. It's still anyway, it's still sounding good. So how you got?
Yeah, it sound good.
All
Yeah,
right.
but what I do, there are some people who have fancy mixers when they do podcasts, but
Yeah,
what I do,
yeah.
yes, I have it on my speakers, and I have a Yeti microphone. And it's a stereo mic, so it picks up everything from all sides, and I can just sing with it, and it's in sync, so I don't have to
Cool.
worry about
Well, that's
synchronizing.
cool. Now, did you write the lyrics to that song yourself, or do you have help, or?
No, I wrote the lyrics. Even just earlier this evening, I decided to change a word or two.
Oh, okay. Cool.
So
Cool.
it's all of these can still be considered works in progress, but I have a couple of more too. I have another one which is also has a little bit of Morse code in it. It's fun to put the Morse code in there because people will hear it and just reflectively get it. And of course,
Yeah.
with this one, CQ, if you listen to it, it sounds like a samba. And so it just fits.
Yeah,
Yeah,
yeah.
that was pretty cool. There was a TV show years ago that used CW as their intro for each episode. I
Well,
can't
there's several.
remember.
I mean, there's a lot of things out there like RKO, movies and stuff, where the tower
Yeah,
comes
this was
on
a
and
science
it's a,
fiction
yeah.
show from way
Oh,
back when.
yeah. Well,
Joe
hey,
Walsh got
great
his
job, man.
audience.
Great job. All I'm seeing is tens here. We give you a 10 here
Oh,
also
thank
on our
you.
end
By
here.
the way, if you ever listen to Joe Walsh's album Analog Man, he's got at least one song there with CW hidden in it. Cool.
Oh, cool. All right, well, since we're talking music, let me just hey guys, right there, our CDs are still up for sale too. Bad to the Bone. That's the W5KUB band right there. Let's see, this is, well, it's 1999 right there if you want that CD right there. And then look, hey, and then we've got the Soul Man. We've got the Soul Man edition right here. It's only $2.99. I don't know why it got reduced so much. I mean, it must not be selling good or something. I don't know. But anyway, Brett, we'll have to make you some CDs and fix the cases up for you on your songs there, and we can start advertising those on the show here.
Oh, that'd be wonderful.
Yeah, man. All right. Oh, okay. Well, cool, man. I wouldn't have the courage to do that.
No, I wouldn't
No,
either.
no,
Songwriting is fun. It's
yeah.
just, it doesn't have to be perfect, you're never going to be perfect and all that, but music is just a fun thing to do, and music and ham radio is even better.
Yeah. All right. Let's see,
Oh, the
Mark.
TV show I was thinking of was Jericho.
All right, I'm not sure I ever
But
watched
there's
it.
actually been a number of shows, including Mission Impossible's theme is based on Morse code.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, Google is my friend.
All right. All right, hey guys, stand by. We'll be right back, and we're gonna get into some more fun stuff here in a minute. Don't go away. Keep the competitive contesting edge of ICOM. Our innovative and high-power base stations cut through pileups, letting you work the bands and record those contacts. Heard it, worked it, logged it. The IC7300 is an industry first using RF direct sampling system in an entry-level HF radio. This compact, high performance and innovative transceiver will far exceed your expectations. The real HF fun starts here. The 7300 has RF direct sampling, 15 discrete bandpass filters, a 4.3-inch color touchscreen, real-time spectrum scope, and an SD memory card slot. For further information about ICOM radios, go to www.icomamerica.com/amateur. All right.
Echo.
All right, we're back, guys. All right. Hey, you know, I brought up at the beginning of the show a question. What's going on at the SCC? Are they thinking about maybe bringing the Mars code back? I kind of doubt it, but looking at the new test, I think there's 8 questions about Morse code on there. They ask you certain things like, what does SK mean? What does KN mean? What's the appropriate speed when you're talking on CW or answering somebody? What's the appropriate speed you should be doing? They ask you what the C stands for in CW. They talk about Q codes, QRV, QRS, and different other codes that are used on CW. So I'm wondering, you know, since code has been just done away with, why are they asking this question about CW, unless there's starting to be some more interest or something there? Guess we'll find out a little later, man, down the road.
I'm wondering if it's reflecting the interest in CW that a lot of people are having, but I still don't see it needing to be on the test.
Yeah, I know.
Well, you got to kind of be a generalist, and you know, Q codes are still used even on 2 meters and, you know, and things like that.
Oh, so, during contests, all the time, yes.
Yeah, so I don't think it's I don't think it's a bad thing for people to know at least a few of the most important Q codes. As for the CW pro signs, that's kind of, well, I don't know. I think sometimes in the, you know, when they're figuring out questions for the test, they're looking for trivia to see whether you really studied the book.
Exactly.
Yeah.
There's a lot of tests that are like that.
All right. So I'm going to look at my phone. I'm just going to see where my son is. Okay, Chris, you're driving out there somewhere between Little Rock and Marion, Arkansas. Wake up, Chris. Wake up.
I was going to say that's a relatively short hop, so he should be checking in or getting wherever
he's
going
pretty
soon.
I think by about 9:15 he was supposed to make. Of course, every time you stop for gas, it adds a couple minutes, you know.
And of course, getting from Little Rock to Marion in the dark in Arkansas is kind of an expedition to begin with.
Yeah, and you know, people may not know it, but Arkansas is really tough on speeders and drug guys, and that's a corridor right through Arkansas, a corridor there, and Chris is coming up with Texas license plates.
One of my only 2 speeding tickets right there in Tyranza.
Yeah, and you know, Texas license plates, and that's pretty much a sign. You're going to get pulled over if you come if you come across the interstate from down in Texas up through 30 and then across 40. You're going to be checked out anyway.
Yeah, you're a marked man.
Now, Glenn, there's a new on the show we watch. You know, they're following a new policeman here now. I think he's in Lone Oak or what, somewhere right near there. He's got the fastest car in Arkansas.
Oh man,
fastest car in Arkansas, and there have been chases 180 miles an hour.
Holy smokes.
180, man. 180. It's something. Anyway, I'm afraid he's not going to last long, man, doing chases.
Well, no, they just need to get him into Talladega and let him go.
I'm not sure how long they can keep him on a show doing 180 down the interstate, especially at night, you know, and, you know, weaving in and out of traffic like that. Gee whiz.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's one of our shows. Arkansas State Police has their own YouTube channel, and if you guys want to watch some really crazy chases, just go to YouTube and put in there Arkansas State Police. They are the most aggressive state police in the United States. They will not stop until they get you, and they must have a terrible budget for collision because they use their car as a weapon all the time. I mean, just about every chase is a pit. And some of the things turn out, they're not quite pits, but they, you know, I'm talking about head-on cars ramming each other and T-boning them to stop people. I mean, you ought to check them out. Arkansas State Police. Woo!
Yeah, those are pretty cool. I can only handle a few at a time, but yeah, they're fun.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
While I'm seeing this, Brett Clifton wrote a very interesting song title in the chat for you. Moon Bounce Over Miami.
I could do something with that.
Moon
maybe.
Bounce Over Miami. That'd be cool. That'd be cool.
Yeah.
So. All right.
Well, you notice I mentioned moons and balloons.
Yeah, I noticed that. You must have just added that.
Yeah, that was what I changed. I figured you'd like that.
Yeah, yeah. I noticed that. I heard it. Thank you. All right. Let's talk about.
And while I'm thinking about that, also at Dayton, and I don't have the forum schedule in front of me. I'll look at it in a minute. But Bill Brown will be doing one of the balloon forums there as well. And I think it's Saturday, but I'll double check right now.
Yeah, it's usually Saturday. Okay. You know, we've been talking about licensing and call letter districts in the United States and so much. It got me thinking about some of the history of ham radio licensing changes that have happened over the years. And I was going to try to pull up and just talk a minute about that. Let's see if I can find something here. This might be interesting to talk a little about it. Let me see if I can get it up on the screen here. So this is a website here from, it's from ARL, or it's a history of changes, ham radio license changes. Let's see if I can get a better picture there. Let's just go through some of these and see how things evolved here. We'll go back to 1912 right there. The introduction of licensing began about 1912. I guess before 1912, you didn't have to have a license. You just got up there with your spark gap and you did whatever you wanted to do, man. But somewhere around 1912, they started, I guess the FCC was formed, and they started, managing the licenses. I see Chris, AC5CM, just joined us in the chat room. On his phone, he can either see the chat or he can drive and listen to the video. So anyway, half a mile from destination. Okay, waiting on a train, he said. Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know.
Bill is in the chat room, and his forum is 11:45 to 1:15 in forum room 2 on Friday of Hamvention. And they're going to be launching 2 Pico balloons right after the forum.
Well, that's cool. We'll try to follow that. All right. So around 1912, they started licensing ham radio there. It had a 5-word code requirement there in 1917. It was 5 words a minute. They increased it a little sometime after that to about 10 words per minute. 1917, you know, I guess radio was starting to kind of kick off there, but creation of the activity, sensation of the activity due to World War I. Okay, went to 1919. So what happened is during the war, they cut off ham radio. You could not operate ham radio from roughly 1917 to 1919. And the same thing happened during World War II. They stopped ham radio there. And brings me to another story about ham radio during the war. And we had some people on our show here a year or two ago, old timers that during World War II, since the ham bands were actually closed, these guys actually somehow put transmitters on their telephone line, and I think they were in Detroit or Chicago, maybe probably Chicago. And a group of hams in Chicago were actually able to work CW and talk to each other by transmitting somehow CW through these phone lines. It was an interesting show. I have to try to bring that up. So 1922, the government started signing call signs. I don't know what they did before that. I guess you just pick your own. Don't know. We had two class licenses in it. We had a first grade and a second grade. And one did require, the first grade did require an examination of a code test and an essay examination. And a radio inspector actually gave the test at a Commerce Department field office. And the second grade was for people that, who could not attend to or go to the Commerce Department field office. So I guess they let a amateur radio first grade license was approved to give the test. 1923, by 23, the extra first class license was added. Another new license class was created, the amateur extra first grade. It had additional operating privileges. It had a more difficult written exam and a code test of 20 words per minute. 1924, look at here, spark gap transmitters were used until 1924. They were banned on the newly allocated 80, 40, 20, and 5 meter bands. So you can tell this is old because we don't have a 5 meter band anymore. 1926, it says spark gap transmitters made illegal on the ham bands. I guess in 24 they were grandfathered in on maybe some of the older bands, but not on 80, 40, and 20. 1927, the amateur first class grade license was renamed to amateur class license. The Federal Communications Commission was actually created in 1927. 28, the commission started testing for the amateur first class licenses. We jump into 32, amateur class licenses. Amateur class, li what? The amateur class license class is renamed the amateur first class license. Okay. 1934, FCC restructuring license there, license restructuring. Code requirement was increased to 13 words a minute. And that's what it was, when I took my general back around 1964. The general was 13 words per minute. Accurate logging required. Mobile or portable operation required. Written notice. Okay. I remember, when in 64, even as a general, we had to log everything. It was a requirement. You had to log it.
And you were actually supposed to bring that in for when you got your license renewed
yeah, I don't
or
remember that
prove
part, but
you had to prove
you
X
had to
number of
prove that you were
contacts.
active. You had to sign a statement that you were active, whether you actually showed them anything. Now, the thing there, let's see, code requirement 13. Okay, talking about logs right there, you had to log it. We had to put in our log book. This was very serious back then. If we called CQ, like on 80 meters, if we said CQ, 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 this is WN5KUB, we had to log that. And
Absolutely.
If nobody answered us, if nobody answered us, we still had to log it, and we just put in here no contact. So
Exactly.
every time we transmitted, we had to log it,
It was mandatory.
It was mandatory. Now, mobile or portable operation required written notice. Of course, that was before my time, so I don't remember that. In 39, I guess the FCC changed their style of test to a multiple choice type test in 1939. 1940, U.S. Amateurs were prohibited from contacting other countries. Woo! All licensees required to supply fingerprints, a photo, and proof of citizenship. Whoa! Look at that, man. 1940. I did not know that. You are not allowed to talk to other countries, and your license required you to have fingerprints, a photo, and proof of citizenship. That is something, man. 1941, 80 meters taken over by the army. That's interesting.
Yep, World War II.
Taken over by the army. And then all ham radio activity ceased in 1942. It ceased due to the war, World War II. That went on from 1942 to 1945. Amateur licenses were only 3 years in the previous years there, but they extended them from 3 to 5 years. I think I can remember in the early days, my license, I think, was a 5-year license. Was yours, Glenn? Do you remember?
Yeah, I think it was.
Yeah, I think it was 5, and then at some point they changed it to 10 years.
Right. Yeah. When I got my novice, I had 2 years. I know when you first, earlier novices, you only had one, but I had 2 years to upgrade, and it was not renewable.
Yeah, and that's the same. My novice license was 1 year only, non-renewable. So if you didn't get your code speed up to 13 or whatever, or upgrade your tech, I guess.
No, we didn't have the tech back then, mistaken.
Well, we did.
I don't think
we did, because I held the tech license and the novice license.
I don't remember having the tech available to me, but I jumped straight from novice to general.
Yeah, I held both the tech license and the novice at the same time. The tech license gave me voice operation of 6 meters, and then of course the novice license gave me operation down in HF bands on CW. All right, but you know, things have changed. We're a couple of years apart, so there may have been some changes there, you know, that even I don't know about. Let's see.
Yeah, there were some slight ones, but
Citizen Radio Service established the 11-meter band was reassigned. Let's see, 11-meter ham band. Okay, we had 11-meter ham band in 1949. Of course, I didn't know what year, but 1949. The 11-meter band was given to Citizens Band radio operators. Boy, I bet that went over good with all the hams, man.
But, you know, that was actually my introduction to ham radio. Really? I had a great uncle that had CB in his car in Oxnard, California.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
We were tooling around. This would have been 1965, 66, thereabouts.
Yeah.
Out there on vacation and heard him working Skip.
In
the car, and that hooked me on DX and wanting to become a ham.
Now be careful what you say, because
I know
I
it
think,
was illegal.
I think we're
then.
Gonna, you know, we don't get him locked up.
They're gonna have to dig him up.
Dig
to
him
lock
up,
him
yeah.
Up.
So it was. I'm pretty certain that the rules said Skip was illegal back. It was illegal back in the days of ham radio, and I don't even know about today. I mean, I don't know if they ever changed that or not, but
Linear amplifiers were a big deal.
You know, hey, Brett, I'm looking at YouTube today, and I see these guys, funny names out there, and they've got this, a Striker CB radio, and they got an SB220 amp over there, and they're showing how much power they're getting out. Oh, man, it drives me kind of crazy.
Well, if you remember the early Heathkits, you know, they ran on 11 meters just fine. They had to modify them later on to not let them get on 11 meters.
Yeah, yeah. 1951, we had new license classes and name change, and the names changed. In 1951, they created the novice, tech, and the extra class license.
Well, there
join.
You go. So you did have the tech. I just don't remember.
To join the advanced. It gets real complicated right here. We're talking Class A license, Class B license, this license, that license. It gets a little cloudy right here. The advanced was formerly your Class A, general, formerly Class B, and conditional, formerly Class C. License terms were now 5 years. Novice was a 1 year, non-renewable. Limited to 75 watts, crystal control, and
those crystals were expensive.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Well, if you were a kid in the Boy Scouts, like I was at the time, they were expensive, and I had a very small collection.
Yes, I had like three.
Well, yeah, and I had a couple. It didn't take many crystals, though. I mean, you didn't have to have the same crystal the other guy, because once you tuned or called CQ, you just kind of tuned up
That's the
and
first
down.
thing.
You
We
tuned
cranked
up and
that
down a
dial
band. You
up and
tuned,
down
yeah.
20 or 30.
You tuned up and down a band, and you found a guy calling you back. You know, I mean, that was
Yeah.
kind of cool, man. That was fun back then.
That was all part of it.
let's see. Yeah, the novice slices had an N in them. Mine was WN5 KUB.
I was WN4FTX.
Let's see. CW test administered by FCC examiner. Let's see. Now, the novice test, it was originally administered by FCC examiners. Now, the novice license later, when I got mine, it was administered by anybody with a general class license or higher.
Correct. That's how I got mine
A
as
tech
well.
couldn't administer the novice license, but a general could.
Right. Yeah, mine was administered by K4DXR.
I remember going to Osceola, Arkansas to take my novice test. A ham up here. Don Whitney, he was the general manager of the local radio station. Anyway, I went to his house and went out in his shack, and so he was getting stuff ready, and he gave me a QST magazine, and he said, "Read that article right there while I'm getting ready." So I'm reading this article, and he's over, did it, and he's getting everything ready. What I didn't know is the guy, the article he told me to read, that was going to be the article he was going to send in code. I guess, it kind of helped.
Oh,
You know
wow.
what I'm talking about? But I didn't
Yeah.
realize that. I don't even think I read the article. I wasn't much for reading back then. But anyway, I knew after that what he was doing, but I didn't know what he was doing at the time,
He was trying to help you
Yeah, he
without
was. He
breaking any
was. He
rules.
was. Yeah.
My thing when I got my novice, it wasn't so much copying, it was the sending. I had not practiced that much on
Oh, really?
sending, and I was really nervous making my 5 words a minute sending.
Yeah, let's see.
But I made it, so it's all good.
Let's jump up to 1952. Okay, in 1952, the FCC stopped issuing the advanced class license. I didn't know that. Of course, that was before my time. They stopped issuing the new advanced class license and took away unique advanced and extra privileges. Everyone general and up had the same privileges after changing license classes. Yeah, now we're going to see here in a few minutes, a little later in the years, they came out with incentive licensing. And that was after I got my license, after I got my general license. But basically, when you got your general license, you had the entire band. You had the entire band on every band that you could use. About 3 or 4 years after I got my license, they implemented what they call incentive licensing, and they took away half your band. They took away half the phone band for general, and every so the general class had full bandwidth, and then when the incentive came out, they lost half their voice band. And if you were an extra, you got a fourth of that back. And no, if you got an advanced license, you got a fourth of that back. So now you had three quarters of what you started with. And then if you got your extra license, you get 100% of the band back. So that was kind of interesting back then. 1954, a novice license testing was turned over to hams, volunteer hams who administered the code, sent the paperwork to the FCC, who would then return a written test to the volunteer and would administer, and then send it to the FCC for grading. Okay, in 1955, the tech class received 6 meters. So 6 meters is, well, I was going to say it's not that old, relatively not that old, but actually, 55 to now is about, gee, that's 3/4 of a century ago, actually. But they got 6 meters back in 1955. 59, technician licenses were given a portion of the 2 meter band. That's interesting. I would have thought they would have had it with it being above, you know. All right, 1967, this is what I'm talking about. You know, I got my license in 64. I had a general in 64. But in 1967, they came up with a thing called incentive licensing. It took place, returning the advanced class license and taking privileges away from generals. So they took half our bands away again when this came out. And to get all that band back, you had to be an extra. If you want to get half of it back, you could be an advanced.
Yeah, I'm not sure that's such a good idea because what you find is that those sections of the bands are empty. They're less used by everyone because you can't get as many QSOs there. If you're an extra, you'll still want to use the ones where someone who's got a general license can respond.
Sure.
I can agree with that, but at the same time, that was one of the reasons I got my advanced was because I wanted to work with slow scan, and to be legal on slow scan, you had to be in advanced, and of course, you got that extra license slots and band slots.
Yeah, I think that things like better, shorter call signs are a better incentive than portions of the band, but I don't know. People argue about that. That's my opinion.
I think you can make a case for either way, but I tend to agree with you that if you're in the advanced or extra section of the band, you're not going to get as many QSOs as you would if you're down in the general band.
So here's something here I did not know. 1972, I got out of the Air Force in December 1972. So I had limited operation overseas with my radios, but I didn't talk to many stateside people. But 1972, tech licenses were granted access to the complete 2 meter band. And here's what I didn't know. Novices are allowed to use radios with a VFO. I did not
Yes.
know that. I did not. I thought they were always used crystal. So
No,
I
I
learned
had
something.
access. My friend had the I had the HW16.
Yeah.
My friend had one as well, and he had the HG10 VFO, and he let me borrow it, and I was totally legal because I got my license in 73.
Yeah, well, you know, back then, if you cheated, you know, if you were a novice, you cheated with a VFO and you're on CW, it probably drifted. You could tell.
Well,
You could tell,
actually,
you
there
know.
was an easier way to catch you
Yeah.
if you were doing that. If you were using an HW16 and you were not chirping,
Yeah, I was gonna say chirping. Yeah,
you were using the VFO because the VFO eliminated the chirp on the
it sounded
HW16.
kind of like a chicken, you know, bluk, 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 bluk,
Yep.
bluk, bluk, bluk,
Yep,
bluk.
my HW16 chirped horribly,
Oh
and
yeah.
it had been modified by the original builder, who was a friend of mine, and it ran 90 watts instead of the 75 watt limit, so I never turned it higher
Yeah,
than
I
75
really didn't.
watts.
When I was reading this, I really didn't associate the chirping with the VFO. Although, yeah, but I guess you can have chirping without the VFO, right?
Yeah, on the HW16, you would chirp
Yeah,
without the VFO, but on a
yeah.
lot of rigs, yeah, all it was a power regulation issue
Right.
on that high voltage final and the oscillator causing it to chirp because you're dealing with tubes back then.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that's what was
All right,
causing the
so in
chirps and
72,
P click and all that stuff.
72, hey, the novices got to use their VFO. Wow. And logging requirements are relaxed. I'm not sure what the word relaxed means.
That means that you didn't have to log all the CQs and stuff.
Yeah, maybe so. All right, let's keep going. All right, 75. Oh, it looks like major changes happened in 1975. You know, I'm just wondering, our viewers here, probably a lot of our viewers on here probably wasn't even born back in these days, man. Let's
I
see.
hadn't graduated high school yet. You're just getting to my graduation year here.
Man, you're a young chick, man.
Yeah, actually, I'm having my 50th high school reunion next
man,
year.
Man, I'd done been to college and 4 years in the Air Force, man, by then, and had a job for a couple years, man. Gee,
I was still a novice teenager.
Yeah, novice technician could run more power from 75 to 250. I probably knew that. I don't know if I knew that or not.
I don't remember that, yeah.
You do remember?
I do not, no. I was limited to the 75, but by 75, I'd already upgraded to the general.
Yeah, yeah. And in the techs, we're given full novice privileges in HF bands.
Yeah, they started that around that time, too.
All right, 1976, they eliminated the WN prefixes for novices in 76. Any extra class license who had been a license for 25 years or more could select one specific 1x2 call effective October 1st, 76. Anyone who held an extra class license prior to 1967 could select one specific 1x2 call. Huh.
Cool. I did not know that. But I didn't have my extra. That 20-word-a-minute barrier was...
Yeah, yeah.
That was, I had too many other things going on in my life that there was no way I was going to make it to 20 words a minute, period.
Yeah, yeah. Let's see. All right, let's see. 1977. Hey, 1977, the license was free, man. They suspended all the license fees. I remember that. Didn't have to pay for your license back then. And the code sending test was waived. But you know what? I took my general like in 1964 in Memphis at the SEC. I didn't have to send. I remember going in for my test. I did not have to send.
Huh.
I don't think I had to send.
I had to send for my novice in 73.
Well, yeah, but I'm talking about, let's see. Already, let's see. Code sending as well. I was thinking more of the general. You know, you listen, you take.
I was going to say you still had to send for
the
general.
Maybe I did. I just don't remember. That was a long time ago.
But again, for most people, sending was easier than the receiving.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. 78. Call signs are now assigned automatically in sequential order. Call signs automatically, sequential order. Novice license becomes, and in 78, the novice license then became a renewable license that you could, you know, renew every year and keep it. There are still a few novice licenses, even though you can't take that test and get the novice now.
Yeah.
There are still novices that have, is the word active license? They kept their license active.
Right.
And you can't get them now, but there's still some, it'd be interesting to know how many novices we still have out there today. Man, let's see.
Yeah, there's still a few.
Yeah. The FCC stopped the extra class only vanity call sign due to internal mishandling and maybe some corruption. Oh, man. I guess they were selling the probably black market. Maybe they were selling... the vanity calls, you know, I don't know. Yeah. The ability to pursue multiple station license. Let's see, secondary call sign. Okay. 1982, VEC created, President Reagan signs into a bill that allows FCC to authorize license hams to create and administer amateur radio license. Now, Back in the early day, back in the early day, I guess me as a general, I could give a novice test to anybody. Yeah, okay. So when did the volunteer program start that we have today? You know, the volunteer examiner? Is this the volunteer examiner?
That's the volunteer examiner. So I would say then that was when it was created.
Man, that's 40 years ago.
Yeah.
That's hard to believe, man. Gee.
Yeah, I was not aware of it back then, but I got out of ham radio in the late 80s, mid-90s.
Yeah.
Just because of work and various things going on.
Yeah. All right, 84. Our licenses went to 10 years instead of 5, which is kind of neat, you know. It was kind of a hassle to try to go through it every year, you know. I remember one year we were up in Dayton and we were at the restaurant, you know, after a long day of walking around. And we were looking at our licenses and I pulled my license out. My license had expired.
Oh, man.
But, you know, I was within the
The grace period.
Grace period. And, so it wasn't any problem. Let's see. Okay. Novice enhancement, 87. What does this mean? 87. Novice enhancement, expansion of privileges for novices, voice privileges, a chance to sample HF without a Morse key. What are you talking about?
Apparently, they had voice privileges on some HF for a while there, but I don't remember that occurring. But
No, I
that would
don't
be about
either.
the time I was doing other things in my life.
Wow. Well, I don't remember that either. I don't know what I was doing. Okay, 1988, the military and commercial use of Morse code ceases. 1988. 91, no code tech license was created without Morse code. Vanity call signs were introduced in 95. I thought they were already. No, that wasn't vanity above. You could just request a 1x2 before. But here,
Right.
vanities were introduced in 95. Okay, 1999, three license classes now. Major changes to rules, cutting licenses from six down to a single, to three with a single five-word code test. You know, the general and the tech test, back when I took mine, they were the same test. Really, the only difference was the 5 words a minute versus 13 words a minute.
Correct. Yeah, the tech and general exam were the same.
Okay, 2000. In 2000, the highest code test was 5 words per minute. That's where they knocked the general and extra down to 5 words a minute. No new novice, technician plus, or advanced class. Ooh. Oh, man.
But I was able to keep my advanced until I upgraded in 2011.
So that's when they eliminated advanced.
Yeah, 2000.
No more code test. FCC releases NPRM regarding the elimination of Morse code. I don't know. 2006. Let's see. FCC releases the first confusing press release, and a few days later, the official report and order eliminating Morse code testing requirements for all license classes. FCC also opens the door for a possible reconsideration of some of the voice frequency allocations just 1 month previously. All right, so that just took us up to 2006 right there, but that was some interesting history, I guess, about licenses. Right there, and I learned a few things that I didn't know or didn't remember.
Yeah, WD8IOL is listing AE7Q.com is listing 6,658 novices still licensed.
My goodness,
That's more than I would have thought.
I would have thought there'd be about 40.
Yeah, I would have thinking,
Gee,
75, something like that. Yeah.
yeah, my goodness.
Yeah. Impressive.
Okay. Interesting, interesting. Okay. All right. So let's see what time we got. 9:15. I want to jump into this real quick. Hey, let's go to real quick. Let's go to Roundtable Hamfest, guys. It is time for our Hamfest. You know, I put a couple of things on here a couple weeks ago, and somebody contacted me. I moved some stuff. And this is an area, if you got a radio or something you want to sell or swap or give away, let us know and we'll put it on Roundtable Hamfest. And we won't have Roundtable Hamfest if there's nothing to show, but this week we have something to show. So, guys, let me tell you, you guys, if you were following the show, you know that I got into and tested some DMR stuff. And we tried to get a DMR repeater going. We just didn't have the hike here. didn't work out well. So I'm selling the DMR radios and stuff that that I have here. I've got one DMR radio left, and it's brand new, basically. I think I've only put maybe 30 words through it. How about that for usage? How much are you using? I only put 30 words through that radio, but there it is right there. It's the Retrievus RA87. It's a 40 watt GMRS mobile rig, and it sells for around 194. Once you pay the taxes on it, you're gonna be up $210 or something like that. I'll probably let it go for. It's brand new. I'll probably let it go for 175, but I've got a programming cable that will go with it, and everything. In fact, the hardware hadn't even been opened on that radio right there. So anyway, if you're interested in GMRS, shoot me a note. Let's see, what else we got here?
What did you say you were asking for the GMRS, Tom?
Probably around 175.
Okay.
And I'd probably ship it for that. So that'd probably save you about 50, 60 bucks on that radio. And again, it's brand new
Yeah, that's a
right
nice
there.
looking
Let
radio.
me show you another radio I'm gonna get rid of here. Guys, I'm gonna get out of a DMR Fusion and DMR Fusion and D-Star. I've never really operated in it. I wanted to give it a try, and I wanted something simple. So I bought, this is a pretty expensive little box right here. I bought a DV Mega Cast. This is a IP radio. I'm going to show it to you. That's an IP radio, and you can see it's on D Star right now. Let's see. Let me turn the volume up.
This is W4ALQ. Go ahead.
So it's working right now.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. I'm here with some friends in the car, and I'm just showing how the ham radio works.
Let's see where he is. I hate to pause between contacts.
Very good. Seems like you've got D-Star set up and working. Are you using a hotspot?
Yeah, that latency would drive me nuts.
Where'd he go? He may have just lost him. I don't know. But anyway, hey guys, this is a DMR. This is a IP radio, and you can see it. I've got the.
K6UQO W4ALQ. Not sure if you heard my last transmission. Are you using a hotspot, or are you connected to a via repeater?
All right,
I am connected to a hot to a repeater here in Fulton, California.
All right, he's in California. Let
I
me
was
turn
going
it
to say
down.
California to a
Yeah, he's
four.
that was on SD Star. So guys, it comes. I've got a microphone with it. Now, typically, the radio does not come with a microphone. If you want the microphone, you have to pay separate for it. You have to pay separate for the power supply. So this is what it looks like. That's the IP radio right there. And if you look here, it takes a standard Yaesu microphone, 61 bucks. It takes a power supply about 10 at $70. I paid right at 400 for this, so 470 plus tax or shipping. So I'd probably sell this for 470. I'd probably sell it for 380. It's probably something like that. Almost 100 bucks off of it. Again, it's brand new, and I'm going to show you how it works. But on the back, you got your power plug on the back. Let me get the thing going. You got your power plug on the back. You got Ethernet connection here. You got an Ethernet connection here, or you got Wi-Fi, so you can connect any way you do it. Now, this is kind of neat. If you got a hotspot or something in your car, you can put this in your car or truck, and you've got DMR in your car or truck. We used to go into Dayton one year, and as long as you got internet, you've got DMR, you've got D-Star, and you've got Fusion. And I'm going to show you how easy it is to change from one to the other. Let me get a different camera shot here.
Thank you for sharing. So I use my radio only for outdoors when I
see if we can.
Okay,
so hey, right now we're on D-Star. If I wanted to go to DMR, all I got to do is a touch screen. All I got to do is touch D-Star. And you see, I'm on DMR now. I'm on DMR. And if I want to go to a DMR talk group, there's your talk group right there. I just click the, let's see, DMR. Let's see, that Fusion, D-Star, DMR. And then I'm going to take that, I'm going to just do a backspace, take that out. And I'm going to put in a talk group. Wait a minute. DMR. I hadn't used this long. DMR. Okay. Backspace. I'm going to put our amateur radio call talk group in here. We are 3-1-9-6-3, I think. 3-1-9-6-3, and you just hit that. Now we're on DMR. We're on DMR, and we're on 31693. So that's how easy it is to go to a different talk group on DMR. Again, you can go to, you can click here. You can go to Fusion, and you can go to different reflectors. You can go to D-Star and so forth. So it's kind of neat. If you transmit, I'll press the transmit button. You see that. Looks like we got green light in here when we receive. It's not letting me transmit there. Probably because somebody's already on there. Look right there. All right, so when I transmit, you can see it turns red. This is W5KUB. All right, so anyway, this is a DV Mega Cast. It's man, it's an easy way to get on DMR, Fusion, or D-Star. So I've decided I'm probably going to get rid of it. I'm not a D-Star, DMR type guy, you know. So anyway, so I'll let the microphone go and all that with it if anybody is interested in it there. All right, let's see. Okay, we're 924. Had a couple more things we would talk about tonight, but I think we're going to run out of time, so our show is going to come to an end here in about 5 minutes for our time slot on shortwave radio. Again, out there, if you're listening to the show on shortwave radio, you're listening to Amateur Radio Roundtable. It's a show about ham radio, shortwave electronics, and you're listening out there on world famous WBCQ shortwave station on 7490 kilohertz. Back in the olden days, that was kilocycles. You remember that, Glenn? Kilocycles. Glenn's muted.
Myself, yeah. Yeah, I preferred kilocycles over megahertz and kilohertz. I was just old school.
Yeah, I wonder why they changed that.
Just because.
Was there a reason?
I think they wanted to switch to honoring, you know, the pioneers.
Yeah.
So they went from kilocycles to hertz.
I mean, it could just easily have been 7490 popils.
No,
You don't think so?
I would go for the hertz at that stage of the game.
It could be 7490 medlins.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know why they did it.
I
don't know why they did it. Okay.
Farads and stuff like that. Ohms.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, that's probably going to be about it tonight. You guys got any final last minute kilo medlins? Yeah, kilo, mega popils.
Well, I mean, I'm going to start loading up the car and getting ready for the Corinth Ham Fest here. Starting probably Thursday is when I'll start loading.
All right.
I'm looking forward to it. I mean, it was a lot of fun last year or the last time they had it. So I like the Crossroads Arena. It should be fun.
Yeah, that'd be fun. And who knows? I mean, I hate to say this ahead of time, but I'm planning on winning the main prize.
I'm debating on whether I want to enter or not. I'm going to have to do it with witnesses verifying.
Why would you even? Hey, Glenn, it'd just be a waste your time and money if you enter. I mean, I've already told you that I'm going to win the main prize.
Well, yeah, but look, I won twice. I won more than you at Russellville.
Yeah, but you cheated.
Yeah.
You can't do that anymore. You can't do that anymore. All right.
Well, no, I just may have found a different way to creatively enter drawings.
Yeah.
I wouldn't call it cheating as much as I'd say just creative ticket.
Yeah.
That's another skill I need to learn at the feet of the masters. So.
Yes. Yes. Origami for ham radio.
I'll have to look it up. What is origami?
Origami is the Japanese art of creating images and symbols using paper folding.
Oh, okay. I got you. Yeah. Because that was mentioned last week or two. I never really knew much about that. Let's see what's going on here. Yeah, nobody's talking right now. This thing will cycle. From D-Store Diffusion to DMR, like a scanner, you know, looking for stuff, you know. And all right, I don't hear anybody on here right now. All right. Well, guys, thanks for joining us tonight. We really appreciate you being with us. Hey, hit that subscribe button. Hit the like button, please. We really appreciate it. And we'll see you guys next week. And let's see here. I was looking for something good here. Hambot's going to be with us again. Here we go.
So you're saying I can ask this cat any question?
The cat is connected to the computer. You just type in the question, it will read his mind. There the answer comes.
You're the man! I've been looking for this for weeks.
All right. Good night, everybody out there. We're glad you joined us tonight. We will see you next week. 73 to you.
Good night.